I'm not going to address that this morning, just because I chose not to.
Oh.
Is that okay? Because we have, I don't know if I'll have a chance to address all of you in this way again before we have what we call Thanksgiving. And so I wanted to say some things about thankfulness, being thankful in all things. Because I think it's something that we don't think about as much as we should. We just kind of take being thankful for granted, I think. So the question I would ask is, of all of us this morning, is, are you thankful?
Yeah.
Now, I know, we're all going to say yeah. We're all going to say yeah. But I wonder if we know what we mean when we say that we're thankful.
Okay.
Are you thankful no matter what?
Yeah.
In all situations? Some of you may have lost your job recently. Some of you might be struggling in various ways, maybe spiritually, maybe with your beliefs, maybe with your feelings. Some of you with your health, and some of you with the health of a loved one. You're struggling with these ideas. Maybe even someone you love has passed away. It happens, doesn't it? And so we're left with still being required to be thankful. But circumstances, we call ourselves a victim of our circumstances sometimes, but I think we're only a victim if we allow ourselves to be a victim. Nevertheless, as hard as we try, circumstances often affect us, don't they?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes they do affect us in our thanks to God. Maybe they shouldn't, but the reality is they do, because life can be difficult. I don't have to tell you that. For some of you right now, even as we speak, life is very difficult. But it doesn't mean that we can't be thankful. Now, I want you to look with me and think with me and follow along here. We're going to look at the story of a man who had every right to be bitter, but he wasn't. The next footsteps in the corridor he knew might be his last. You know, might be the last footsteps he hears. It might be the guards. The guards may be approaching to take him away to his execution. His only bed was the hard floor, stone cold floor of the prison cell where he was being incarcerated. And not an hour passed when he was free from the irritation of the chains that he wore and the pain of the manacles cutting into his wrists and his legs. He was separated from his friends. And he was unjustly accused and treated brutally. If ever a person had a right to complain, it was this man. He was suffering and almost forgotten in a Roman prison cell. But instead of complaining, this man praised God. He praised God, but not just praised God, he praised God with thanksgiving. His circumstances did not dictate the thankfulness of heart that he had. It did not dictate the fact that he could be thankful. And so it should be with us. And many of you already know, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, by many ways, by many standards, had a very difficult life. But he was a man that had learned the true meaning of thanksgiving. And I would hope that we can get a handle on that this morning. What does it mean to be thankful? The true meaning of thanksgiving. Even in the midst of great adversity, the Apostle Paul never lost sight of the fact that he was thankful to his God. And earlier, when he had been imprisoned in Rome, Paul wrote, sing. You know, Paul wrote a lot of things from prison, a lot of encouraging things, things to encourage others at a time when he might not have been so encouraged himself. But he was. He was. And he wrote, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Lord. Thanks to God, the Father, for everything. Paul said, give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Now think about it. Always giving thanks for everything, no matter the circumstances. Now, thanksgiving for Paul was not what people think of in this country when we say Thanksgiving. It wasn't a once a year celebration. And so it should not be for us. Thanksgiving changed Paul's life. See, we don't think of Thanksgiving as something that can be life-changing, but it enabled him to be joyful in every situation. Thanksgiving to God for all his blessings. And see, that's something we get confused about. Maybe I'll address that in a little bit, but the idea of God's blessings. We're so fickle, we're so confused, we don't even know what a blessing is. We think we do, we think if we like it, it's a blessing. Well, it might be, but it might not be. Isn't that true? A lot of things that we start out thinking are blessings turn out to be curses in our lives, don't we? So the blessing should be giving thanks to God for what he has truly blessed us with, though, should be a distinctive mark of a believer in Christ. People should know who we are by how thankful that we are. And we must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts. You say, well, I'm thankful. I don't have a spirit of ingratitude. Are you sure? A spirit of ingratitude can harden your heart. It can kill your relationship with God. And you know what? A spirit of ingratitude can kill your relationship with other people too. Nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore commitment and the joy of our salvation. Have you forgotten that? The joy of salvation. Nothing can do that more than a true spirit of thankfulness. Now, in the ancient world, there was a disease called leprosy. It still exists, but it was a terrible disease, and it hopelessly disfigured those who had it. And it permanently, see, this is a thing, it permanently cut them off from society. They were in colonies, separated from everybody else by themselves. And they all yearned for one thing. They wanted to be healed from the terrible disease they had. And one day, 10 of these lepers approached Jesus outside a village. And they pleaded with Jesus to heal him. Now see, they knew Jesus could do this. And in an instant, as Jesus always did, he restored them. He restored all 10 of these lepers to their health. Perfect health. But you know what? Only one came back and thanked Jesus. What about the other 9? Now here's the thing. I think sometimes we can be like them. Do you think the other 9 were thankful? I think maybe they thought they were thankful. But we get confused sometimes about thankfulness. See, we think that being thankful is being glad for having whatever we have. Now, these 9 men were glad they were healed. I have no doubt about that. Do you? They probably counted that as thankfulness. And I think sometimes we do that. We're happy to have whatever it is. We're pleased that we have, and we call this possession a blessing. And these men called what Jesus did for them a blessing, and so it was. But they were so busy just being glad about the blessing that the blessing got the focus. Do you understand what I'm saying? The focus wasn't on Jesus. They had forgotten the source. And they didn't give thanks. But one did. It's easy for us to get confused. But I want you to remember this one thing. Ingratitude is sin. Do you got that? Ingratitude is sin. Well, we think it's just something that we should be thankful. No, if you're not thankful to God, it's sin. It's serious. Just as surely as lying or stealing or any other sin that's condemned by the Bible, ingratitude is sin. One of God's condemnations against rebellious humanity is that although they knew God, you remember that scripture? Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him or what? They didn't give any thanks to Him. Romans 1:21. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold towards God and indifferent to His mercy and His love. Indifference. We say we're thankful for God's mercy and love, but we don't show it in our lives. We don't show it in the giving of thanks to Him, and we don't show it in the extending of it to other people. You know, thankfulness is a natural outflowing of a heart that's attuned to God. If you don't come across to others as thankful, now think about this. What do you look like to other people, other Christians even? They talk to you. What comes out of your mouth? I'm just so thankful for what God has done. Or is it, well, things are really bad. You know, my life is just so terrible. There's so many things wrong. Are you thankful? Where's your focus? What are you thinking about? The psalmist declared, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Grateful praise, I think one version says, to God. Psalms 147:7. A spirit of thanksgiving is always the mark of a joyous Christian. Why should we be thankful? Because God has blessed us. And we should be thankful for each of those blessings. But here's the thing now. Don't lose focus. We're thankful to God. Remember that. Yes, we're thankful for what we have, but that's not the focus. The focus is not in the blessing, but it's in the giver of the blessing. We leave God out of it too much, I think. We say, boy, you know, I have a nice home. I have a nice car. I have a nice family. I have a good job. I have this. I have that. I am so thankful. Well, you're thankful in those things. Don't be thankful in those things. Be thankful to the God who gave you those things. Because when you put the focus in the things, you give the things the glory. That's materialism. That's what we do. We get so tied up in the things that we have and we lose sight of the giver of blessings. Give thanks to God. Point number one, thank God for the material blessings that He gives you. Now you said, I know what I just said. But that doesn't mean we're not thankful for the things that God gives us. But we recognize we're not too tied up in this. Material things, thank you, God. Here's the thing to thank Him for. He gave you what He said He would give you, didn't He? If you put Him first, food, clothing, and shelter, He gave you that. But the reality is He gives us so much more than that. And thank you, God, for that. But we must realize that this, because we have so much, doesn't mean we're good. It doesn't mean we're bad. It doesn't mean anything. God only promised the good, the bare minimum. But thank you, God, for what you've given. But you know, the fact is, and I'm gonna get on myself a little bit here. We're just never satisfied with what we have. Materially, isn't that true? You get what you're trying to get and then you want something else. Whether you're rich, and I think it applies to them just as well. You want to be richer. If you're poor, you want more. If you're healthy, well, you want to be in better shape. You want to lose some weight. If you're sick, you don't want to be sick. But what a difference it makes when we realize that everything we have has been given. The word given, focus on that. It's been given to us. Now, well, there's not much satisfaction in being given everything. Well, there is to God, the giver. He deserves the praise, but we want some credit. You say, well, I go to work every day. I do this. I'm the one that did that. I'm the one who sweat. I'm the one that sometimes even bleeds, right? Well, who gave you the blood? Who gave you the body? Who gave you the health? And if you don't think that it's God, wait till you don't have those things and can't do those things. Then you realize that it's all given to you. Everything's given to us. King David prayed, wealth and honor come from you, he said. From you, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Everything, God, comes from you, David said. 1 Chronicles 29, 12 through 14. There are wealthy, powerful, successful men in the world. Many of these men are the envy of, I would hope not too many of us, but the envy of a lot of other men, their friends and their business associates. They're counted as being so successful. But oftentimes, and sometimes even in tears, these same men will admit that inside of them, they're miserable. There's an empty place in their heart. And that's how they got rich, because they're trying to fill that empty place inside of them. So they're trying to fill it with material goods and power and all the things that come with wealth. And so they work hard for all of this and they gain all of that. And then they realize, you know what? That empty place, it's still there. Because that's the place in your heart only God can fill. Only the Holy Spirit of God can fill that place. Wealth cannot fill it. Wealth cannot fill emptiness of heart. On the other hand, I once knew of a man. He lived in a very modest home. He didn't have much in the way of wealth. He was a humble man. And yet, his face was radiant when he spoke. Because he talked of the things that he was doing in the kingdom for Jesus Christ and the people who were listening to him. And he was thankful. He was thankful to Christ that he had filled his life. He had filled that empty place in his heart with meaning and purpose. He knew who he was, where he belonged, what he was doing, and where he was going. Now I ask you, who's really rich? I think it's that man. That man whose heart is full of thankfulness, and not the man who has so many earthly riches and an empty space in his heart. Paul declared, I have learned, he said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul called it a secret. The secret of being content, no matter the circumstances. Being happy, no matter the circumstances. Whether well-fed, Paul said, or hungry. Whether living in plenty or living in want. I've learned the secret, Philippians 4:12. A spirit of thankfulness was the secret. His heart was full of thanks to God. Everything was given God was given credit for everything in Paul's life, and that made the difference. Now, are you constantly preoccupied with what you don't have? Some people are. You know what that does to you? You cannot enjoy what you do have because you're just looking at what everybody else has that you don't. And you know, why do they have it and I don't? Thank God for what you do have. Give Him the glory. You might ask, well, what do I really have to be thankful for? Really? Well, why don't you start with thanking God for the people in your life? You say, oh, those people in my life, thank God for them? It's so easy to take people for granted. And we do. We all do it all the time. Sometimes we complain about people and we become angry because the people in our life do not behave the way that we think that they ought to. They certainly don't behave the way that we want them to. Instead, we need to give thanks. Give thanks for everybody around us. Our spouses, our children, our relatives, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Give thanks for all of these people. And there are others too. You know what? You should even give thanks for your enemies. Yeah. Pray for them, we're told. And give thanks for those people who help us. Now, I hope you're not the person that says, well, I don't need anybody. I can take them or leave. I can make it on my own. No, you can't. Now, you say, okay, I need God. No, you do need God, yeah. But you need people too. God made human beings that way. There's not a soul that doesn't need people. Give thanks for the people in your life. How many marriages, how many other relationships grow cold and eventually fall completely apart because of the sin of ingratitude? Sometimes all we want in our relationships is to be appreciated. I want my wife to appreciate me and she wants me to appreciate her. Give thanks to God for our relationship. The Christians in Corinth were far from perfect. And we know that. If you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you're going to discover a church had a lot of problems. But Paul said, I always thank God for you. I always thank God for you, Paul said, to these Christians in Corinth, who had all of these problems. When a group of believers whom Paul had never met came out to greet him as he approached Rome, we read that at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Acts 28:15. Thank God for those who touch our lives. Are you thankful for Christians that you don't know? Thankful for the work that goes on in other places? We ought to be, and we ought to be praying for that work. The world depends upon that work. Another point. Thank God in the midst of trials and even persecution. Now, I know that's going too far, right? Thank you, God, for making my life difficult. Is that going too far? No, it's not. We draw back from difficulties. That's a human nature, isn't it? I don't want trouble. I see trouble. I try to go where it isn't. But you know what? Not one of us is exempt. I don't care where you run to or where you hide. Some kind of trouble is in your life. There's something in your life right now that you're dealing with that you'd just rather not be dealing with. That's life. That's the way it is. And yet, in the midst of those trials, we can thank God. Not only can we thank God because we know that He has promised to be with us, right? Isn't that a blessing? God is with us. We don't face problems alone, and he said he will help us. We know that he can use the times of our suffering and difficulty to draw us closer to him. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I talked about how fickle we are, how we are not even able to distinguish a blessing from what's not a blessing. Certainly trials are not blessings, are they? If they draw us closer to God, which they're designed to do, absolutely, yes, they are. Consider it pure joy, James said. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Joyful trials. Say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. If you're thankful to God for what he's done for you, you can. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And you can do it. And you can be encouraging to others as you do it. James 1, verses 2 and 3. When the prophet David learned that evil men were plotting against him to destroy him. Now, you know what he did? He got down on his knees and he prayed to God, giving thanks, just as he did before. Giving thanks. The fact that evil men were trying to destroy him had no bearing on his relationship with God. And the fact that he owed God thanks. That's Daniel, not David. Daniel 6:10. The Bible commands, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's what we've been talking about, right? But it's not just something we ought to do. God says do it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You will even be able to thank God in the midst of pain and distress because you are privileged to share the lot of those who are living in the light. So we got trouble? Yeah. But we got each other. And we got God. And we got the Holy Spirit. And the trouble's going to go away. I guarantee you. Whatever problem you have is going to go away. Now, you might die. Is that something you would count as not a blessing? It's supposed to be a blessing, isn't it? That's how you get to heaven, right? So dying, even death, is a blessing in Christ. Now, I don't know what trials you might be facing right now, but God knows. And he loves you. And his Holy Spirit is with you. And we need to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness even in the midst of trials and heartaches. We need to dwell on what's right in our life. And so much, I don't care how bad it is, so much is right. So much is right. It's the physical things that get us, right? But spiritually, everything can be right. Okay, how about thank God? Thank God, especially for his salvation in Jesus Christ. God has given us the greatest gift of all. How can anything else matter? He's given us his son who died on the cross and rose again so that we, you know why he did that? So that we can know God personally. See, we had a sin problem between us and God. We couldn't approach God because of our sin. And because of the death of Jesus taking that away, that great gulf that was between us is not there anymore. Now we're all priests. Now all of us can approach God on a personal level. Think about that. The creator of the universe is our personal God. Amen. I can talk to him and he hears me every day and he intercedes in my life. So let's see now. What is it that I'm worried about? What is it that concerns me? I'm thankful, God. Thank you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. The Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. But God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And he wants us to be in his family forever. He loves us so much as I already said, that he sent his only begotten Son to die. To die, a perfect sacrifice. All we need to do is reach out. Reach out to him. God is reaching for you. You got to reach back to God. Reach out in faith. Let your faith overcome whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever excuse you got. And through obedience, accept Christ as your Savior. We already established the phrase a lot of people use is personal Savior. Yeah, he is. That's the only kind of Savior he can be. There's no other kind of Savior but a person. For God so loved the world. We know that one, don't we? John 3:16. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Okay, one more. Maybe two more. God, for his continued presence and power in our life. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence and thank you for your power. Because you know, I can't do it. When one comes to Christ, we tend to treat it as if that's the end. That's what we're after, to get people in Christ. And when they come to Christ, that's the end. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of a whole new life. God is with us. But not only is God with us, God is in us. Living in us. He wants to help us follow him. He wants us to follow his word, and he's going to help him. You know what the problem is? The problem is that in ourselves, all of us, within ourselves, we do not have the strength that we need to live the way God wants us to live. We don't. The whole Old Testament was to teach us that. You can't do it. It's not in you. But when we turn to him, when we turn to God, we discover it is God who works in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Jesus promised his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Matthew 28:18-20. So, in many countries, not just the United States, but many countries, a day is set aside for Thanksgiving. I don't think that's a bad thing. Anything to get men to the thoughts of thanking God, whether they actually do it or not, it is an opportunity for that. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. But I think that for Christians, you know, it's kind of redundant, isn't it? Thanksgiving is every day, isn't it? Now, we're saying yes, but I hope we're discovering that Thanksgiving isn't as easy as we thought it was. It requires some effort to give proper thanks to God. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. As we are always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. So, where's your heart? Have you opened your heart to Jesus Christ? Or is it closed? For whatever the reason is. Well, I'm not ready. Jesus is ready. When are you going to be ready? What's going to happen? What's going to happen in your life that you're going to be ready? What needs to happen? Is it an age? Is it a problem? The fact is, whatever it is that makes you not be ready, you could deal with better if Christ was in your life.
Amen.
That's the fact. You're ready. You just don't want to give in. You need to give in. Have you opened your heart? If not, turn to him. Turn to him in faith. Turn to him in repentance. And turn to him in baptism. And when you do that, you can thank him. You can then offer thanks for him for what he has done for you and what he will be doing for you. And if you do not know Christ, you know, then you need to. But if you do know Christ. How long has it been? Now, I'm going to ask. I'm asking myself the same question. How long has it been since you thanked God specifically for your salvation? It's the biggest thing in your life. It's the most important thing in your life. The greatest gift you'll ever receive. How long has it been since you thanked God? We should not let a day go by without thanking God for His love, His mercy, and His grace that He sent to us in His Son Jesus, and for the salvation that is in Him. Do you know the joy of a personal relationship with God? You need to. You need to know that. You need to experience that through His Son. If you'll turn to God, He can take away your bitterness, your sadness. And when people ask you, how you doing today? You won't have to say, well, not so good. You won't have to say that because you're doing great. You're saved. You're going to heaven. So what in your life overshadows that? Only what you let overshadow it. Give in. Give in to the true spirit of thankfulness. Come to Him now as we stand and sing.